Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Table Talk. I'm here with my daughter, Madison.
Hello.
And we are going to discuss Joshua 1, 8, and 9, as we promised 2 episodes ago. I inserted, and I hope you have enjoyed listening to the conversation at the table when I was a guest at my son and daughter-in-law's home in Nebraska. So thank you again to Zane and Faith and little Letty. And we are back home in Northwest Arkansas at my table. And we actually had a listener actually ask Madison an interesting question at a women's conference we were recently at in Conway. Madison, I'll let you share how that went down.
Well, I was asked if I actually sat at the table because, you know, there's so many podcasts where you can call in and I can be at my table and you can be at your table, but we're still recording. And so they're like, are you actually sitting there? I said, yep, I actually am. So we're sitting right across from each other. So it's not as, you know, awkward. I'm talking to someone live.
But we love that. If you are a listener and you have a question for us, or if you just enjoy listening, or if you have a verse of the Bible that you would like discussed on topic here, please give us a shout out. Reach out to us. We'd love to meet your needs wherever you all are at. But I'm going to open us up in prayer, and then we're going to get right into Joshua 1, 8, and 9. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this space and place and time in our lives, our now. We appreciate it and accept it for what it is. The hardness of our lives, the blessings of our lives, because it's in that, if we turn it back to you, that you are shaping and reshaping us. And without you, we are nothing. And as we lessen and we allow you to become more in our lives, we can outpour and overflow from what we are receiving from you. You are faithful. You are powerful. You are joy. You are the vine. We are the branch. May we bloom for you in our aroma, and may others just smell it and come and ask for help in meeting you as well. May Maddie and I speak today words that you want heard. It may be our words from our voices, but we're asking that it be the words of your Holy Spirit. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to just start by reading Joshua 1, 8, and 9. I hope a few of you looked ahead at it and are somewhat anticipating this discussion today. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I am reading from the English Standard Version for any of you that are just curious. And so when Madison and I both first begin to look at a verse, one of the things that we have put into practice in our study of the word is to isolate some words within those verses that we just feel kind of like gripped or pulled to. You don't even have to know why those are the words. Don't try to explain it to yourself. If you think one makes sense and one doesn't, just go with it. And so I'm just going to share the words I isolated and pulled out, and then I'm going to baton pass to Madison to share her words with you. And I hope those of you that looked ahead, some of the words kind of jumped off the Bible page for you as well. And if you haven't ever isolated words within a verse to further study, I'm going to ask you to do something kind of unique or odd. I want you to stop this podcast right now. I want you to open your Bible to Joshua 1, 8, and 9 when you can. You may be walking. You may be driving in a car. You may be at lunch listening to this. Just stop the podcast. It's not going anywhere. And don't listen any further until you have the time to go to your Word of God in the translation you like to read from. Open it to Joshua 1, 8, and 9. Get a journal. Get a blank piece of paper. Get a sticky note and isolate some words. Once you've written those, scratched those words down, or typed them in your phone notes, then restart the podcast. Join us again. Just to give yourself a clean opportunity to receive something from the Spirit before you are inundated in any way with the conversation that Maddie and I have here at the table. So my isolated words were depart, meditate, careful, prosperous, commanded, and dismayed.
Mine were book of the law, lips, meditate, careful to do, strong and courageous, and discouraged.
Okay, you see that right there? So what I want you all to realize is when you open the Word of God and you isolate a chapter, a verse, a book of the Bible, I hope you begin always with, Heavenly Father, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to me. Because the Word of God is living, active, breathing, sharper than any two-edged sword. It wants to cut through Paulette and open up Paulette and speak to Paulette and make Paulette more like Christ. It wants to cut through Maddie, speak to Maddie, open the sinews of Maddie, and speak to her soul and make her more like Christ. And that's what the book of God is offering each and every one of you, to empower you, emblazon you, cover you, but pursue you in your pursuit of it to make you more Christ-like in nature. So we're going to stop for a minute after showing you that process, and we're going to talk about an overarching theme of this verse. And the question I want to pose here at the table for Maddie and I to discuss is basically, how do we absorb God's word? And we just showed you one example of how we attempt to allow the Word of God to come in to our minds, our souls, and then therefore change our attitudes and our actions. So in preparing for this verse in my own personal study, I use a study Bible by Charles Swindoll. And in reading about Joshua 1, 8 and 9, he gives an incredible picture of what we can have in our minds about how we can absorb God's word in practice. And I'm going to just read a little bit of his opening paragraph, and then we're going to start a discussion. He starts with, "There was nothing more valuable to Joshua than the book of instruction that Moses had left him. Because Joshua had God's instructions and promise in writing, he could meditate on them, and he knew what God expected of him. Similarly, the Bible, the written word of God, is our most valuable, tangible possession. We need this book. We need to absorb it. It's our spiritual diet. Even if we have read it and have been taught it for decades, we need it every day. Why? Because we'll lose our way quickly if we don't meditate on it day and night. And then how can we live according to what God says in its pages if we don't absorb it? And he gives five ways we can progressively absorb the Word of God. And so we're going to kind of keep you hanging because we're going to talk about each one at a time. We are not going to reveal all five to you right here. We're going to go one at a time. And when we stop, we'll say, see you again next week. And we'll come to a part two or a part three or however long it takes. Because ladies, we've got to get this. We have got to get the how practice of absorbing God's word because it's so powerful. So with imagery, why don't you think of them as blocks, like big building blocks, big Legos, like big Legos. Sure. And the first block, we are inviting you to basically sit in front of you at your imaginary or your real table. We could pretend you have a real table. Put down the big block and think of the word hearing, a big block of hearing the word of God. If you ever take notes off of our podcasts, please draw a little block at the bottom of a page and write hearing. And we're going to talk first about what that means to absorb God's word through hearing and what those different practices of hearing God's word are. Hearing is the simplest way to take in the word of God. It's simply to listen to it, read by someone, explained by someone, taught by someone. It is effective, but it is not the most effective way, but it is the place where everyone needs to start. So we're going to pop off and brainstorm and give some ways that we hope you are already hearing the Word of God. And if not, you may think, oh, that would be great to add to my absorption of the Word of God toolkit. So, Maddie, what's the first thing you think of with absorbing God's Word by hearing?
Listening to it through like the Bible app. Mm. You can play a verse audibly. So sometimes when I'm driving to work, I'll just put it on. I can't read it. But they're reading it to me.
And there are reading plans on there, correct?
There's reading plans. You can just pick a verse. There's a whole bunch of stuff. There's other apps that I've heard of that, you know, have the nice background music and the different mm-hmm. voices for women and men in the Bible, you know, an ultimate always voice for Jesus. I just do the free version. Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. play a verse. Listen.
Absolutely. My husband listens to one every morning. The narrator has like a British accent. It's quite lovely. And it is literally just verse by verse by verse. He's not explaining things. It's not a commentary. It is just the word of God being read. I also think of going to a Sunday sermon at whatever church you participate in worship with, listening to your pastor read the word of God over you and explain that word to you is the block of hearing. If you're listening to this podcast, that's another check mark in the block of hearing. And I think coming from education as a background for both Maddie and I think the reason it's so pivotal and it's where everyone needs to start is that's where we start with children. They aren't given a book in the crib and said, you know what, this is here for you when you get to the point where you can digest the meaning of this book. We start reading over them at a very, very, very young age. We had just come back from Nebraska visiting our new granddaughter. She got dedicated on the Sunday we were there. It was her 2-month birthday. And our daughter-in-law and our son are reading to her as part of the bedtime routine. She's not ready to absorb a book any other way than by hearing it, even when she doesn't understand what the words are. And then Madison, tell us a little bit about your bedtime routine with Mickey, mm-hmm. who's four.
Yeah, so we have been pretty consistent since birth reading to him before bed. And at this point, now that he's older, he knows, like, he gets three books or whatever it is. But we actually are starting to read our first chapter books, mm-hmm. the Magic Treehouse books with him. We're on book 8. Mm-hmm. So we read 3 to 5 chapters a night, depending on how tired he is, how long they are, or, you know, just what time it is of the day. And so we're reading those to him, and he's understanding, he's comprehending, it has some pictures and some words, so that's exciting, but he can't read the words himself. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get into a block coming here in the future that's going to bring me back to that practice of Maddie reading with Mickey, but I don't want to spoil it, but yeah. we'll come back
One
to that.
One other thing that came to my mind is just historically, as humans, oral language was so important. Mm-hmm. We know as teachers were taught this, that humans were talking and listening and orally passing down their history and their stories for hundreds, thousands of years before anyone said, hey, let's write this down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they started with pictures and then eventually letters, and we have our
hieroglyphics
alphabet today, yeah. And it's very, very new. So another idea is there's still some people in the world that do not have a written language. Mm-hmm. They have oral. Mm-hmm. So hearing is, you know, so important because it's ingrained in our human nature to hear and listen before, you know, we have to teach ourselves to read.
Absolutely. Okay, so the second block that we are going to ask you to either really anchor down into a journal or have imagery of setting it on top of the hearing block is going to be, Maddie, would you reveal?
Reading.
The reading block. And the change there from hearing to reading is hearing, the act of hearing is a passive action. You are literally having to do nothing but have your ears able to receive. And like we all know, there's often times when I hear something, but I'm not even taking what's being said in. Mm-hmm. I can also say that happens sometimes with my spouse. I know he hears me, but he has not taken in what I've said. And we know that happens when we're in a church service on a Sunday. We may hear the pastor, but are we taking it in? If you've got this podcast going or the Bible app on or someone reading verses over you and you're putting on makeup or you're cooking or you're driving, you have to be honestly vulnerable with yourself and say there are times when you check out or another noise is louder than that noise.
Yeah.
So what changes when we go from hearing to reading is now that you have to do active participation in it. The learner has to be active in what is going on. Now your eyes are engaged. If you're reading it out loud, your mouth is engaged. Your brain is working. Even if you're just reading it to yourself, it is still actively going through a cycle of your eyes to your mind. And an active reader of the word is a major step forward than just the hearer of the word. And the best way to read the word of God is to read it in larger chunks and then isolate it down into smaller. If you just start reading this verse, pass through your Bible chapters, and this verse, and pass through to the New Testament and this verse, it is very, or could be very fragmented in your thought. And the most powerful way to read the Word of God is to really read it almost like a book, like Madison was referring to reading chapters with Mickey. So maybe pick a book, and if you've never really tried to read a book of the Bible, start with something that's attainable, like go to like Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, I would, like, I'm in Isaiah. I have been sitting in Isaiah all summer. I'm still in Isaiah, and it's not summer. It is fall. So don't start too grand and become defeated. Start somewhere where you can honestly say, I can do this. But actually read the book. Read it before you even start. And I'm not going to give away the next block, but just read to be reading. Read it in larger chunks, a chapter at a time, or 5 to 10 verses at a time. It sounds hard at first, but I promise you it gets easier. But you may miss something if you're just reading one or two verses in and out of the Bible.
Yeah. I would also say, you know, it's easy to check out sometimes when you're reading mm-hmm. as well. So that happens. It's okay. It's okay to say, I've read 5 chapters in this book and come to the end and say, I don't even remember what I read. That's okay. You can read it again tomorrow or just move on. There's no shame or guilt. You did the first step, or you did the second step, I guess, mm-hmm. Of just reading it. And that's okay. Somewhere in that, you obeyed his command to read the word. And so that's great. One thing that I have just recently done as an adult is read through the whole Bible. And I would say if you haven't done that, it takes a while, but as intimidating as it sounds to read the whole Bible front to back, it's only like 12 to 15 minutes a day if you read it in a whole year. And I will break it to you. I have never finished the plan within a year. It's always taken me more, and that's okay because life happens and that's fine. But we always say that this is a book and we don't treat it as a book of reading it in kind of mass quantities. So if you have been reading a little bit here and there and you want to, you know, kind of step up, try just start with Genesis and go through the book. Or I've also done plans where it's chronological because the Bible's not chronological. So you can either go Genesis to Revelation and just read it front to back. And it's just something that you've done and you gain so much, like, the same characters are popping up and you start to remember that. Or I've done where you start chronologically and go and the books are out of order. And that is very interesting as well, because you're gaining more of a timeline of the Bible. So I would say there's so much, just so much that you can gain from just straight reading it, just like you would a book that you get from the library or something like that. If you can read 10 minutes a day, you will read the whole Bible within a year and a half. And I just think that's something cool you can say you've done, and it gained so much for me.
Sure, it's so powerful. And as Maddie was speaking, I thought, even if all you're doing as you're reading it is writing down questions, like questions you have that you didn't understand when you were reading, or questions almost like if you were at the table right there with God or Jesus, like, why did that happen? Or what was the purpose of that? If all the first time you read it through it's doing is making you ponder and making you think, not in a way of doubt. I don't mean like you're doubting the word of God, but if you're just being aware of, wow, why? Or how, if all it's doing is making you wonder, that's the start of engaging a learner, is to have them wonder and question about something they don't know.
Yeah.
So if that's okay, if you've just filled up a journal with, I have more questions now than when I started. Yay!
Yeah. Just one thing that God has told us to do throughout the whole Old Testament, New Testament is read and engage in the word that he's given us. So just the simple act, there's going to be places that you love and are so encouraging and you're like, man, this is so amazing. I'm a child of God. This is great. This made my day. And then there's going to be other times where you're really like, wow, that was really rough. That was you know, he's destroying the whole world. What is happening? Like, that is hard. There's going to be really boring times. It's okay to say, like, I don't know what I just read. That was so boring. Just chapters and chapters of lineage and names. And so whatever you pick, Old Testament is important. New Testament is important. It doesn't, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter what you read, but any starting point is good. So just the act of reading the Bible, two verses a day, a whole chapter a day, a whole book a day, whatever it is, you are obeying his commandment to read the word of God. And that's what you're fulfilling. And if you feel like you got nothing out of it, it's not about you. You obeyed what he told you to do. And that discipline will bring, you know, so much fulfillment and purpose in your life. Even if you feel like you got nothing out of it, I don't understand what I'm reading, you obeyed him. And that's the most important part.
How many of you make your bed every day? I have to admit, I am one of those that does. And the reason I make my bed every day is because my mom set it as an expectation that I would not leave my room until I made my bed every day. I have to be honest with you. I didn't enjoy doing it then. I can honestly say, when I made it this morning, I didn't necessarily enjoy doing it today. But what I will say, it is now a habitual practice. I can't even think of maybe less than five times a reason why I did not make my bed in the morning. But now I just do it. And the reason I do it is, A, it's honoring to my mother who set it as an expectation. And B, when I enter my room at any other point of the day, my bed is made.
Yeah.
I walk into it. It is clean. It is crisp. The pillows are just so. It brings me no anxiety. It brings me no stress. It's a place of calm and rest and quiet. Whereas if I had walked into it and my everything was just happenstance and thrown around the room, the first thing I would think of is, oh my goodness. So all I want you to see in that analogy is exactly what Maddie was saying. If at first you're reading the Word of God just to be reading it, read it. You will come to a place like I am with making my bed, that the chore of doing it is now just rote. I just get up and out of, almost without thinking, it is like something I just do. But it brings me joy. That is my relationship with the Word of God. I read it, and now it's so beyond reading it to read it.
Right.
Now I read it because it brings me rest and joy. So wherever you are on that spectrum, starting is exactly the right place for you to do. Just start. So we're going to move into block three. And so let's go back down. Hearing. Stop and pause and ask yourself, how much of your week are you able to hear the Word of God? Second block, reading. Ask yourself, how much of your week are you reading the Word of God yourself? Open it up and look at your translation, which, let me stop for a second. That's vitally important. It's vitally important that you choose a translation that you can understand. My husband and I used to lead a youth group at the time our kids were more in the youth program. Maddie and Zane were actually a little younger than the youth group. It was really for our oldest daughter, Hillary, but they were there for everything. And one of the little activities we would do with the youth students is we would bring like all the Bibles we had from our house up there. So, I mean, my goodness, we probably have 20 Bibles, all different translations. And we would have a different student stand up there in front of the group, like all in a line. And we would literally start with the King James Version of the Bible and then work all the way down to almost the Good News Bible or the Message Bible. Yeah. And we would have the same verses being read out of each Bible. They were just repeating it. So like all 20 of them would read Joshua 1, 8 through 9. And what we wanted the youth sitting in those seats to think about is, at what point down the line of that verse being read did it ignite within me, I get that? Yeah. And then we wanted them to remember who it was, like Maddie had that one or Hillary had that one. And then afterwards we would say, this was the ESV, this was the New Living, this was the Message, this was Amplified, this was, you know, it doesn't matter what translation, but we wanted that kid to know then the NIV ignited you, the Berean ignited you, because it is not worth reading if it's not where you can understand it. And so if you're listening to this and you're like, I have no idea, different versions, we can help you with that. Reach out to us. You can also change the translation on most of the apps that the Bible is being read to you out of, but please make that the first step when you move from passive to active.
Yeah, and another thing is, excuse me, I needed some water.
A little bit of allergies with medicine today.
We are so blessed that we have all the translations. One thing that I thought when I was little and I really liked the Message was that, like, my Bible, I don't think I really thought about it at the time, but when I grew up, I was like, oh, this is kind of like less than people reading the King James. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. We are so blessed to have so many different translations that it aids to our study and comprehension. And someone along the line said, you know, stop that lie of shame that someone likes the New Living and someone likes the New King James and that there's one closer to the real Word of God. People put hours and hours and hours and hours and decades of study to translate the Bible. And wherever you are, whatever speaks to you is the one that speaks to you. And the Spirit is, I believe, within all of those translations. So what I love to do is I took Joshua 1, 8, and 9, and I have read it in probably 10 translations, but I've written down and studied them in 5 or more. And so I think that aids to my comprehension, my understanding, and just the Spirit speaking to me in so many different ways, because there's different words and they add or take away some of the different, you know, prepositional phrases and stuff in each of the verse so that I can understand it better and get a really big picture of what this verse is saying and how people have translated it and understand it differently, even though it's the exact same original text. And I think that's so beautiful. And I am so blessed to be on this side where I don't have to read it in one way to understand it. Mm-hmm. So
I'm going to share with you, when I was 16 years old, I was given a Bible by a woman. Her name was Nan Palmer. We were living in Corinth, Mississippi. I actually worked at her daycare in the summers when I was, of course, not in school. I potty trained a classroom of 2-year-old boys. Anyway, a little bit of information about that. But she gave me this Bible. It's the Living Bible, which is a paraphrased thought-for-thought translation. And I have used this Bible since I was 16. I've had it recovered because it was basically falling apart. And it's not the only version I've ever read from. ESV, I will say, the English Standard Version is probably my go-to always first now. But I will always still go back to this Living Bible that I have marked up, that all the margins are written in, that it's all highlighted up and cross-referenced through. And so I'm going to just stop and read Joshua 1, 8, and 9 out of it, because I want you to hear another translation that is more of a thought-by-thought paraphrased translation. And this was like my go-to Bible. from definitely 16 through college, first married, definitely those years. So here's how it sounds in the Living Bible. Constantly remind the people about the laws, and you yourself must think about them every day, every night, so that you will be sure to obey all of them. For only then will you succeed. Yes, be bold and strong. Banish your fear and doubt. For remember, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So I just want you to hear it in a different way. And again, I just ask you to stop and isolate these two blocks today. This is where we're going to stop this podcast. And I want you to prayerfully consider, how can I hear the Word of God more? Or how can I begin to read the Word of God more? And if you're already reading it, stop and ask yourself, how can I read it well? What can you do differently? What can you do more? And then always, always, before you begin, pray, Heavenly Father, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to me. It is only for His glory, honor, and praise that we can even receive anything from the hearing and the reading of God's Word. But we're going to stop here and leave you hanging with three more. And we hope you join us to find other ways that you can absorb God's Word. Maddie, thank you for being at my table today. Anything else you want to add as we exit today?
We're going to talk a little bit more about Joshua 1, 8, and 9 next time. So just keep, if you've been doing it or if you want to start, just keep studying that with us.
That's good. And if you have questions, ladies, from Joshua 1, 8, and 9, write them down. And if you didn't stop the podcast, but you didn't isolate your words, you've got a week to isolate your words. And we'll talk more about that next time. Love y'all each. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.